Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The pitch. Breaking ball hit high in the air. Deep to the left field corner. Green races back. He's out of the track. He looks up. It's out of here! Bobby Witt Jr. Grand slam! Oh, this place is going nuts! Royals in the bottom of the third on one big swing from the Royals superstar.
What a call there by Jake Eisenberg on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Royals baseball. Vern again tonight at 5:30. Royals go for the second game of the series against the Detroit Tigers. Two things I think we discovered last night. There is no doubt in my mind that the MVP of baseball is Bobby Witt Jr. The only reason they were in that game last night was because of one player. I'm sorry. He had a grand slam, and he had an RBI single. He had five RBIs last night. The Royals had six runs. Again, he plays shortstop at an exceptional level. He's the MVP of the league. I'm done caring about it. And I heard Vern's pregame show, and then someone reminded me on Twitter, and they said, Vern said, this is a year where we are seeing a historic statistical year from a shortstop of all time in baseball, and he's going to lose the MVP to a guy that plays in a short ballpark in the outfield for the New York Yankees.
Well, that's just life. I mean, you know, it is what it is, right? No, but this is why, like I've said all along, it's important for Bobby Witt to experience the postseason more than it is for the Royals to experience the postseason, because I do believe that even the nerdiest of nerd baseball writers still doesn't understand what kind of season Bobby Witt is having. And you're right, Dusty. They lose that game 7-1 last night. If it's not for Bobby Witt, you just take his five runs off the board. But I experienced last night. I had an epiphany last night. This is why there's just not a lot of buzz for this Royals team right now as it is headed towards the postseason. Because, number one, we've gotten spoiled, and the playoffs just aren't good enough anymore here in Kansas City. It has to be World Series or bust, or Super Bowl or bust. But we saw exactly the blueprint of what fans have kind of been talking about all along, is that this bullpen just absolutely stinks. Like, that Long guy was no good last night. That MacArthur guy was no good last night.
Now injured,
you know, as well. And again, I still think the bullpen is going to vastly change once we get into the playoffs. You know, Lorenzen is going to be coming back. But again, we're relying on guys who are coming back from injury, right? The Lorenzen guy, the other guy that they got from Washington, I can't, Hunter Henry or whatever that guy's name was.
That's a tight end in the NFL, Hunter Harvey.
Hunter Harvey, that's right, the candy bar era.
Two Faces, brother.
That guy, yeah, exactly, yeah, right. Yeah. He'll be there. Yeah. But these are guys that are coming back off of injury, or we're going to be relying on guys like Brady Singer to go into the bullpen, and he just hasn't been that sweet lately, and I don't know how good he's going to be coming
and
out
Daniel
of the bullpen.
Daniel Lynch is doing his best AI version of Luke Hochamer.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. So you got a couple of guys that you can rely on, but I think we saw last night why a lot of fans just aren't dialed in and truly excited about this postseason run. Now, the flip side is, anytime the Royals get into the postseason, you should be excited, because A, you don't know what's going to happen, and B, it doesn't happen a lot where the Royals, as an organization, make it into the postseason. So I do think every trip should be treated as a special trip, unless it becomes, you know, Bobby Witt becomes Patrick Mahomes and he's taking us to the playoffs every year and whatnot, and then you can get a little spoiled by that. But at this point in time where the Royals are as a franchise, they haven't been to the playoffs in 9 years, right? Mm-hmm. And so getting into the playoffs still is a very special thing, and it's a very important thing to have that opportunity to be in the postseason. Mm-hmm. But I got that feeling last night from a lot of people. Like, you know, this is why we don't feel that love and that sense of accomplishment like we did in 14 and 15 with this ball club, because I think people realize and understand there's a big black cloud over this team, and it resides out in the bullpen. And as you mentioned before the show, like, you were even disappointed in Seth Lugo a little bit last night, because it wasn't that he gave up a lot. It was like it took him 35 pitches to get out of the first or second inning, and that taxes you, right? Like, all those pitches that you throw prevent you from going deeper and deeper into the game. So I think we saw a microcosm last night of why that excitement isn't there like it was in 14 and 15 for this team.
Yeah, like somebody says on the text line from the 913, and again, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but they said, I agree, he's the MVP, but he's also the reason they lost the game last night. He threw a ball away that they took the lead with. Pitching lost that game last night.
Bullpen, yeah.
Pitching lost that game. Seth Lugo had 59 pitches in the third inning. He wasn't himself, and the Royals had a 4-0 lead and a 5-1 lead. Yeah. So two times, they had a 4-run lead.
Right. You had a 4-run lead in baseball? Shut that thing down.
And pitching didn't solidify that win. I'm with you when you brought that take to the table this morning about how it feels like it's just consistently like heartbreak warfare. And I know that's a John Mayer song, who's one of my favorites, and that song's really just about a girl who uses jealousy as a tactic to do whatever. But again, this is one of those things where, like, I feel that take because it is that. Because when it's going well, it's going well. Mm-hmm. And then in, like, last night's game, we all look at that, you know, the box score before the game starts, which is kind of dumb to say, but we look at the matchup and you're like, okay, Lugo's on the mound.
Feel good.
Royals are at home. And it's like,
Lugo's on the mound, Bobby Witt hits a grand slam, you tell me what's going to happen, right?
And
they lost.
And even I was like feeling that moment. I remember texting you and Mac, and I was like, hey, bases are loaded. Tommy Pham or Bobby Witt Jr. is doing something here.
Right.
Tommy Pham looked at three consecutive strikes, and I was like, oh, God, I did it again. And then right after that, it's boom.
Bobby hits one to Topeka.
And, I mean, a moonshot. Yeah. And you heard the call by Eisenberg. You saw the crowd, you know, everybody's in blue, you know, standing up and cheering. You're like, okay, here we go. Emotions are through the roof. And then the game ends, and it's 7-6, and it's an offensive explosion, tons of hits. And you think to yourself, an hour ago, I didn't think we'd be in this situation. Yeah. And that's the ebbs and the flows that I think you're kind of right about when you look at this team and you look at the fan base watching it, and you think to yourself, like, this is the type of stuff it reminds me of how these two teams have flipped from where they were 10 years ago. Well, maybe not 10 years ago, but like back in the day, the Chiefs would lose those close games, whereas the Royals would throw the bullpen out there and you're like, oh, one run lead in the sixth inning, game over.
Yeah.
And now with the Chiefs, you're like down by 3 points with 13 seconds left. Bah.
No problem.
Whereas the Royals, you're like, we're up by 4 with the seventh inning. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So like, and I think that the fear of losing in the playoffs, which is a fear you should have, is one of those things where like, yeah, we're a playoff team, but how far do we get?
But it's also a team and an organization that hasn't been there in 9 years. So isn't just making the playoffs good for where we are right now in this organization? Again, expectation versus reality, right? Like, this team and this organization, guys, has basically been a dead stick for the better part of 60 years, right? They had a couple of windows here or there, but that's been it. And so when they do make the playoffs, whether or not they win and go on a run, hey, this is a playoff team. This is the baseline, and this is the jumping off part point for what should be coming in the future, and that's sustained success.
Right.
Again, flip side is, and I'll play devil's advocate to my own conversation, we've never really seen sustained success, right? So we look at baseball postseason like, oh my God, if we don't get in and win it all, we're effed moving forward back to 100 losses. And I just don't think that's the case right now with this ownership in place. I don't think John Sherman's going to allow this team to take those step back like David Glass did back in the day.
Right. I do love this text from the 913 because I feel like this is a friend of mine. I was there. And I went and bought a new hat after the grand slam, and then it all went to blank. I feel that, man.
You're the jinx.
I feel that, dude. I totally feel that,
but
man.
Also, too, you're playing a hot baseball team right now. Like, the Tigers have won 7 of 10. Obviously, now they've won 2 in a row.
Yeah.
They're only a game and a half back now in Minnesota, that wild card spot. By the time they leave here, the Detroit Tigers very well could be in a postseason spot, and Minnesota may be on the outside looking in.
And they got walked off last night.
I know, by Cleveland.
They were up the entire game and then lost. So things could be worse. And I'm
and Seattle's only two out now, too.
And I do love this text, too, because this is where my narrative has been the entire season from the 913. The Royals make the playoffs. I'm so happy because it shows that our team is moving in the right direction.
Right.
They are allowed to have a down game. It's okay. I'm totally there with you. Look, right. You're still in the same position. You're in control. You are a playoff game. There's what? Seven games left or six, however many there's these, maybe there's more than that, but either way, you are a playoff team. You're going to play baseball in October.
11 left now,
something like that. Yeah. 2 weeks, a week, whatever. The final stretch is here. So yeah,
this is the last series against American League teams for the Royals.
Yeah.
They close out against San Francisco, at Washington, at Atlanta. And Atlanta's a hot team right now. Obviously, they're battling for a playoff spot. Those last three games are going to be vital for this team. I don't know anything about, you know, what Washington and the Giants are doing right now, you know, when it comes to stuff. But, you know, it's Atlanta finishing off the season. They're battling for a playoff spot. Washington's 14 back. They're well under 500. And then you have the Giants coming in. And that's always like a, you know, hey, let's get them back for 10 years ago, right? And they're like, you know, a couple of games under 500. So it's not like they're playing great. So you have the opportunity against two teams that aren't so good after you play the Tigers in these three games to take care of some business, pad yourself a couple of games, and give yourself a little breathing room. The magic number, I still think, for the Royals is 8. They're 2.5 up on that wild card over the Twins, 3.5 up over Detroit right now in that wild card standing as well. So the other thing I think that scares off a lot of fans right now, too, and like it's like you don't want to get invested, you don't want to buy in because you feel like you're going to get, you know, stabbed in the back or whatever it is. The Royals are just 44-50 against teams over 500 as well. And so they played good against, you know, the bottom feeders, which is very important because if they don't go 12-1 against the White Sox, Dusty, we're not talking about a playoff team right now. They took care of business against the teams that were beneath them. They beat up on the teams that were below them. They got all of those wins under their belt. But you know what? They're maybe just quite not ready to make a run. And that's okay that they're not quite ready. Nobody expected them to be here. This has just been a gift of a season. It's been a fun season. And if it ends in a wild card round in Houston, so be it. You got a really good baseline for where you want to go, and you just have to build on it. And the good news is it really is just the bullpen that needs a fixing after this season.
Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Dayton Hughes, our guy, will join us on the other side on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. This is Fesco and Dusty with Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, all here for you. Have Dayton Hughes in about 5 minutes. He'll join us and talk about what was last week and also what is this week in the city of Atlanta, Georgia.
Do you like Atlanta? Everybody loves Atlanta. I've been to Atlanta a couple times. All right. You know?
I don't have a problem with it.
I wish there was a beach closer to Atlanta. I don't know. Just for me, I'm like, if I'm going to live in Georgia, it's got to be by the beach.
Down by the beach, boy.
Great ballpark experience for baseball. Best one I've ever had in baseball. I'd love to see something like that in Kansas City. We'll see if the future holds.
I will say Atlanta, great, you know, great wings.
Yeah, lemon pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who was the guy who got him during COVID?
Check.
Who was that? Was it
in the
Lou,
bubble?
It was somebody.
Lou Williams.
Lou Williams. Yes,
that's it was Lou Williams.
He left the bubble for wings
at the strip club.
Yeah,
home of Magic City, home of very many successful rappers. Shout out Ludacris. I went to Atlanta when I was a kid. We drove through it on the way to Myrtle Beach. We stopped kind of in there a little bit.
Did you see the Coca-Cola Hall of Fame or whatever it is?
Yeah, we didn't go to it, but we drove by it. Drove by Turner Field at the time.
At the time, yeah.
Because we all remember those Braves teams from the 90s. Yep. I still will die on the hill that Greg Maddux is the best pitcher of all time.
Whew.
He's my number one of all time. And I know people can roll their eyes and be like, dude, come on.
Why would anybody roll their eyes at that one? No, it's a good one. I'm just trying to think like who. It's a great question because I never thought who my Roger Clemens for me will probably be my number one of all time.
Tarnished. We'll get into with
That's
athletes
July.
A second chance. Yeah.
The only people who don't get second chances are baseball steroid users, right?
I want to bring this back up because I feel like, and I want to ask Danon about this too, and I know that he's a level-headed person, but are we still okay with the Dylan Raiola stuff?
I mean, like, who am I to say whether I'm okay? I think it's weird, but if it doesn't bother Mahomes, then so be it.
And Barstool Sports tweeted out, congrats to the Nebraska quarterback on winning Liar of the Year award after saying he unintentionally looks and acts completely like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Again, we had this conversation last week, and a lot of people on the text line were like, let the kid live his life. Again, that's not my thing. I'm not saying that's what he's not doing. But it's the same celebration, and it's week in and week out, week in and week out. And I'm wondering now, if Mahomes were, say, tomorrow, go to his barber and change his hairstyle, would Dylan Raiola do the same thing?
He can't. He has no choice now, because he said he's had this hairstyle since like sixth or seventh grade, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, I don't know how many years ago now. I'm like 4, 5, 6 years ago. So roughly around the time Mahomes kind of became big in the NFL, you know, which is really odd to say. This kid's playing college football. He's been watching Mahomes since sixth grade, but we're getting into that territory. Patrick Mahomes, next game that he plays, he's going to be 29 years old, guys, right? Happy birthday, Patrick. So we've got a quarterback now who has been here for essentially a quote-unquote generation, if you will, where a lot of young kids that grew up watching Patrick Mahomes are now getting, you know, names for themselves in college football or the pro ranks. And so Raiola saying he's had that haircut since sixth or seventh grade, well, Mahomes has had that haircut for about as long as that as well, if not longer. So he cannot change his hair. If Patrick Mahomes went in and got his head shaved or dyed like Joe Burrow or something like that, Raiola cannot do that. He's got to stay with that same haircut. If he does go ahead and do that, then we've got to probably, you know, alert some people that we got like a weirdo on our hands here that's copying everything Patrick Mahomes does, and we may need to be on high alert, right?
It's the question I ask is it creepy or could you care less? Because to me, it's getting to the point where like now it's like, oh, he did it 1 week. Maybe he's just paying respects to, you know, his icon, which is cool.
Cool.
I'm sure we've all had icons that we've mimicked before.
I was in seventh grade when I was doing that, but that's just me. You know? It's
either way you want to look at it. But we move on from that, and we get to our guy Danon Hughes here on Fesco and Dusty.
You hear him on game days in the booth.
Quickly, they get chunky and funky with stretching the field vertically.
And Thursday nights at 6 during Players Only.
Spitfire, hot fire take.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network color analyst Danon Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
I didn't know Danon had that in here.
I didn't either. Junky and funky.
Yeah, Spitfire.
That's a Tuesday at the Fesco household.
Danon Hughes brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and now you get to discover the sexiest laugh in broadcasting. Danon Hughes joins our show here. Mr. Hughes, how are you on this Tuesday morning?
What's going on, fellas? I am good. It's a victory. Mm-hmm. What, do we just got past Victory Monday? We can stretch it into Victory Tuesday. I'm cool with that. 2-0.
No doubt. We're all
feeling Chiefs Kingdom.
We're all feeling junky and funky, Danon. There's that laugh.
That's like it.
Hey, I have a quick question before we get into the Chiefs. Creepy or could care less, the Dylan Raiola stuff?
A little creepy.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to hear from a perspective of a former pro and a guy that, cause I mean, what we've all probably done mimicking stuff. Like I tried to imitate Griffey's swing as a kid.
Yeah.
But you know, I got to the point of like pulling my hamstring. I was like starting to imitate my father, and not, you know, other athletes, but I digress from that, Danon. And I, you know,
well, I will say this. Yeah. I think that the mimicking should not go past high school. Like I remember being a pitcher in New Jersey and wanting to look like Dwight Gooden on the mound and emulating that. And, you know, again, the Griffey swings and all that. But once you get through high school, I feel like that's where it should end. You should have your own identity and do your own thing. And the fact that it goes even into the pregame, running to the end zone, screaming, like, all right, enough is enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And how much of that is because it's Nebraska, Danon?
Not
a team hated like Nebraska, but maybe Cincinnati. How'd that feel leaving the stadium on Sunday?
I loved it. I mean, let's face it, the Cincinnati Bengals are a good football team. They're not a disciplined football team. They're not they don't have a winning culture, and I spoke about that since the game. When you talk about the culture, or even talk about during pregame, culture of this organization, There are teams out there. The Chargers seem to have been a team that has flipped the script a little bit under Jim Harbaugh, but in the past, they are a team that knew or figured out ways to lose games. We're a team and an organization that figure out how to win games. The Bengals figure out ways to unravel at the wrong times, making bad decisions, making bad plays, costly errors, Jamar Chase screaming and yelling, not once, not twice, three, four, five times in the face of the officials on, if he thought it was a hip drop tackle, how is it a hip drop tackle when Trent McDuffie never actually hit the ground? Like, how do, that's the whole idea of a hip drop tackle, is if you pull him down on the ground while you're on the ground. He actually just wrestled him and actually held him up just a bit. So I don't know if it was he thought it was a face mask, because I didn't see a face mask. If he thought it was a hip drop, I didn't see a hip drop. If he thought it was a horse collar, he had one hand on the back, one hand on the front, and he just twisted him around. So I think that was more frustration. But it just goes to show you that even as a good football team, undisciplined behavior, frustration because of a contract and that you only got four catches for 35 yards, all play into the lack of winning culture. And I'm happy that we are a part of a team, even though we've had our blow-ups. We've seen Patrick or Travis, lose it a little bit, Chris Jones lose it a little bit on the sidelines. Once they get back on the field, once it's time to go and win a football game, we figure out ways to do that.
Danon, I will say, and I have been to the Oakland Coliseum for a game, so I'll preface that. I have been to Denver for a game, so I'll preface it that way. The Cincinnati Bengal fans are the most deplorable group of fans that I've ever been in contact with. I liken them to the Beverly Hillbillies. They show up, they think they've accomplished something, they really haven't. They try to act like they're big-time talkers. They're talking smack in the crowd to my kid. I don't know that I've ever experienced a worse group of fans than the Cincinnati Bengal fans for an organization that literally has done nothing in their existence.
Yeah, it is interesting that they have that kind of aura about them on the field. And again, it's a culture thing. And I'm sure we have some fans that are, extra spirited, sure, I guess we would say. But for the most part, when you talk about the culture of an organization and the identity of a kingdom, like, this is what we have. We have guys that compete literally till the clock hits zero. Like, that's what we do. We compete till the clock hits zero. We very, very, very rarely ever shoot ourselves in the foot. And we figure out ways to win ball games when we don't play our best football. And I think that's something that the fans can latch on to. It's a blue-collar mentality. Even though we have superstars on the team, overall, we have a blue-collar mentality that we just go out there and we make it entertaining, maybe a little, heart-stopping at times. And a Sunday experience or a Monday experience, a complete day for the Chiefs faithful. I mean, I just think that this is the epitome of what you want to experience when you're talking about NFL football.
Yeah. Danon Hughes with us here on 96.5 The Fan. And let's start, with this week. Isaiah Pacheco obviously busted up ankle, out for an extended period of time. How does his loss impact this team?
It's a tough loss because there are guys on this team, there are guys on every team that seem to either be the heartbeat or at least be part of the heartbeat of their particular unit, offense, defense, special teams. And I feel like that energy from Isaiah Pacheco is part of the identity of our offense. Yes, Patrick Mahomes, he is the linchpin. Yes, Travis Kelce, he is the star. But Isaiah Pacheco, as far as his energy in the run game, and if you ask any offensive lineman, current, in the past, they will tell you that they love when a running back has that kind of energy. When you commit to the run game, when you're efficient in the run game like we've been, and you have a guy that bounces up, runs back to the huddle, like, that energy permeates through the offensive unit and the offensive line. It's contagious. So whoever fills in, I think Carson Steele has a little bit of that, but he's still a rookie. I haven't seen enough of Samaje Perine in regards to his presence. We've seen him play against us, but we haven't seen his presence and how vocal he is or lack thereof. So you just kind of wonder about the run game specifically if the same energy is going to be there. So Isaiah Pacheco, he's definitely going to be missed. Hopefully, you know, it's a fibula injury. So for a running back, you don't know how long that's going to take. If it's going to be something that we'll see, and we'll be able to see him later in the season, maybe in January, if it's going to be IR for the rest of the year. But I think he's going to be missed.
How do you think the possible return of Kareem Hunt fits into things? Like, what's your take on potentially bringing him back? He's working out today.
I don't have a problem with it. I think it's a great fit. You guys have heard me talk about it. I know over the last couple of years when we had all the drops by the wide receivers last year, the big question, why don't we go out and get X player? Why don't we go out and pick up receivers? Well, this offense is not predicated on picking up guys at that skill position, even into training camp. Like, we very rarely have we gotten guys that once training camp even started or preseason started, that we went out and got guys that would be impact players offensively at the running back position or wide receiver. So, like, that's not something that we do, whether it's the complicated offense or it's just the trust of Patrick Mahomes, and it takes a while to get there. So you just don't want to go and pick up somebody that's unfamiliar with the culture here. Kareem Hunt is familiar with it. The terminology is very much the same. Matt Nagy was here. Andy Reid was here. So I feel like that would be a good kind of stone to overturn and see if he's in shape and he's capable of coming back. I think the bigger part of it is how he handles the PR part, because I feel like after all these years, if I am in his ear, he's standing at the podium right after signing and he's apologizing to the entire Chiefs kingdom, as well as the Chiefs organization, starting with Clark Hunt and Andy Reid. Apologize, say I've grown from it, I made a mistake, you haven't heard a word or anything from me or any issues from me since then, and I've moved on, and hopefully the Chiefs kingdom can move on. That quick statement, identifying it right at the podium, will give him the complete clean slate that I think he would utilize and he would need to be a positive force for our team going forward.
Well said, Dana. As we talked to Dana Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan, we move on, speaking of, to Atlanta. We go to Magic City, and it's Kirk Cousins. that laugh says a lot there, DH. But I will say, go on to Atlanta. An impressive win last night, or a choke job by Philadelphia?
Oh, it was a choke job by Philadelphia. Yeah, a drop by Saquon Barkley, who, you know, probably has the best set of hands of all running backs in the NFL, at least top five. Playmaker who made a bunch of plays, won me a couple of fantasy football games this weekend at my running back position, but got to catch that ball on third down. At the same time, they are a perfect example of a team without an identity in the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, they ran the ball well, then they got conservative on defense. They allowed Kirk Cousins to kind of carve them up in the latter part of that game and basically take the victory away from them. So it was unfortunate to see from a football fan standpoint. It may bode well for us that they are not a team that's coming in, or we're going into their facility while they're 0-2. Now they're 1-1. And I don't know if that'll be good or bad for us. I still don't understand how the Atlanta Falcons get two consecutive primetime games.
Yeah, right? I mean, how is that possible?
What have they done in recent years to garner that, to go from Monday night to Sunday night? But at the same time, it's a short week for them, even though they're playing at home. And we have to step up to the challenge. Their run game looked really good. And so we have to be stout against the run. I can't imagine that they'd want to put the game on the shoulders of Kirk Cousins out-dueling Patrick Mahomes. But I will say this, and Patrick Mahomes, if you look throughout the course of his career, yeah, we lost to the Lions last year, but when we play teams once every 4 years, or we play AFC teams that are not familiar with us, like, I feel nervous for the other team. Because it's one thing to look at our offense, all the intricacies, look at Steve Spagnuolo defenses and the blitz packages on film. But if you don't experience it, it can be like a tornado. And so for the Atlanta Falcons, they haven't experienced playing against the two-time Super Bowl champs in a while, and there's not any familiarity there. So that can give us a little bit more of a boost as well.
I think the last time they played was a COVID year game, and I remember being there and having the entire section to myself. I'm like, this is the way to go.
Yeah, right.
Nobody here at this game. And it ended up being a field goal game at the end, and the Chiefs ended up winning that and clinching, the division that day or whatever it was. But, you know, Atlanta obviously makes the national TV because they got great uniforms. That's really all that it is.
Yep.
Their helmets are phenomenal. So rookie baptism over the weekend, man, not so good for a left tackle by the name of Kingsley Suamataia, was it?
Yeah, it wasn't. Kingsley had a bad day, and I envision, I know he got subbed out, which you very rarely see in the NFL at the offensive line position, get subbed out late in the game, and Wanye Morris comes in. I still think that they may go back to Kingsley. Like, I feel like if you felt for all of these weeks that Kingsley was the guy to take over at that left tackle position, struggling against what was the number one defense from 2023 in the Ravens last year, and then two pretty solid bookends in Hendrickson and Hubbard, doesn't necessarily show that indicative of losing your position for the rest of the season. And if you believe that that rookie can play and you drafted him accordingly, I think you throw him back out there in the fire pretty quickly. So although I would not be surprised if they say, you know what, we're going to give him a few weeks to kind of sit and watch and learn, and then maybe around the bye week, we may throw him back in the fire. I would not be surprised to see him thrown back out there again and saying, hey, you got a chance to soak it up. You got a chance to maybe a little humble pie by being pulled out of the game. What I did notice, even with he and Wanye Morris, is the knee bend wasn't necessarily where it needed to be. And then you look at Trey Hendrickson and how he was rushing the quarterback, he was getting underneath their pads. He was getting lower than they were and using that leverage to push them back into the pocket and into the quarterback. So, like, that's the number one coaching point that I would look at on film is, like, guys, get your knees lower. You know, Rich Baldinger and I always did these Metro Sports, Spectrum Sports shows, midweek and postgame, et cetera. And Baldy would be pulling his hair out talking about knee bend.
He's a great knee bender.
Yeah, and that's where those guys were inefficient in that game, in game one as well as game two, specifically game two. So, rookie baptisms, Xavier Worthy, the 12th defensive man as a wide receiver, again, going against the corner, the 12th defensive man is always the sideline and the back of the end zone. That's what they utilize. So when you see Cam Taylor-Britt squeeze him to the sideline, that negates all 4-2-1 speed, and that tells you that from a wide receiver position, he's got to get stronger. He's got to be able to push back on those defensive backs while running past them with that speed, and that's part of the learning experience and the baptism. So he looked a little bit down in the locker room because of that interception. It was a great play by Taylor Britt. But at the same time, those guys got baptized, and they'll be better because of it.
Well, Danan, we appreciate you joining the show, and hopefully Mr. Primetime Kirk bends the knee to Mr. Showtime Patrick Mahomes on Sunday Night Football. So we'll be ready to hear you on the Chiefs Radio Network here on Sunday evening.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yes, sir. Let's take care.
But he's a great knee bender.
Danan Hughes there on Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Coming up on the other side, a rookie quarterback last year, a quarterback this year who's been benched for the Red Rocket or whatever you call it.
What?
Red, I think that's what it is.
Red Rifle.
Oh, I'm Dusty Likens. That's Bob Fesco. And that's Mac Morey. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Red Rifle. Dusty Likens here, screwing it up as normal on Fesco and Dusty.
That's all right.
The two pros of the show, Mac Morey and Bob Fesco, with you as well on 96.5 The Fan. Damn glad to have you on a Tuesday. Get your tacos ready.
Oh, it is. It's Taco Tuesday. I forgot.
Come on now.
How did I forget?
And I'll tell you what.
I forgot because we got all kinds of stuff going on with the tennis and stuff tonight. Like, I don't know if I'm going to get tacos tonight.
That's a good meal to get on that Tuesday, though. Just go through the Abuelitos or whatever. They got the $5 for $6.99. Five tacos, $6, green salsa. Ain't no.
Does anybody know if Hawaiian Bros is related to Dutch Bros?
No. Different parts of the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same last name, though.
It's like, is Quick Trip and Quick Stop in the same family? I believe there's a Price Chopper and a Price Cutter.
There's a Quick Trip in Iowa, I believe. And sometimes they fight on Twitter. The Iowa Quick Trip versus the Kansas City area Quick Trip.
Do you hear about my newest invention?
What's that?
You know how Hy-Vee is a wonderful place to get your groceries and food?
I love it, yes. I was there yesterday.
I think you should create a store that's a dispensary called Hy-Z's. You go there, then you go to Hy-Vee.
So you're trying to steal cannabis from Josh is what you're trying to do.
Correct.
Okay.
Among other things, I've stolen from Josh. Honey, I'm going to run a couple errands. I'm going to go to Hy-Z, then go to Hy-Vee, and then I'll be back, baby.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, look at you trying to steal your can of bets from Kling. He's got that thing locked down. Unless gambling passes in Missouri this year, then we don't have to have can of bets anymore.
Oh, yes, on two.
Is that what it is?
I believe so.
All right.
They got teachers out there.
I saw
doing
a teacher. Yes.
Yeah, dude. Hell yeah. Hi, I watched that commercial.
I'm Stacy. I used to teach kindergarten. Like, hey. It's so stupid. Just vote yes and move on.
Yes.
You know?
Money goes to teacher schools and everything else.
There you go, man.
Just saying. Speaking of somebody to bet on this week, Adam Thielen, for you fantasy lovers out there, you can check Max show out on Sunday at 9 a.m.
Are you feeling Thielen?
I am, because Andy Dalton's there, and they showed Thielen being very frustrated on Sunday, and you can guarantee 8 to 9 targets to Adam Thielen on Sunday. Great sleeper flex play, Mac. If you have my opinion, but again, listen to Mac on Sunday at 9, then Binkley from 10 to noon. Right after that, man, I missed that Sunday. But either way, I'm glad I'm here. But Bryce Young was benched, and his coach, who will be fired at the end of the year because it's Carolina. The Canals had this to say about it.
I want to keep that private. What I would like to say, though, is this is something after I watched the film, I looked at it, had a thought, started working on talking to the guys that we make decisions with. Certainly a lot of parties involved there. And ultimately, this comes on me. And my number one responsibility is to help the Panthers win. And so this move, I believe, puts us in the best chance to do that this week.
No, this move keeps you the best job of keeping your job as the head coach of Carolina, because I guarantee you Mr. Tepper was up there saying, hey, buddy, I think you should probably make a quarterback change, because if you don't, I'll fire you. Just go call Matt Rhule and ask him how much better his life is now in Nebraska.
I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think this is a head coach that's looking around and going, this is not my guy, and I don't really care if you drafted him number one overall. Remember, he's 1-1, guys. Like, this isn't a guy who's a third-round quarterback. He was the first overall pick. The last regime told everybody in the world that this guy was better than C.J. Stroud, right? They took him over C.J. Stroud in that draft. It will be the downfall of the Carolina Panthers, or will it? Because I think what they did is something that Josh used to preach all the time about. Who cares if you drafted him one overall? If he's no good, get rid of him. And teams have been so afraid to move away from quarterbacks in the NFL. The Cardinals really did a good job of moving away from Josh Rosen after 1 year in Arizona. Everybody knew that guy was no good, and they bounced away from it. So head coach never heard of him before over here in Carolina. I give him credit for moving on from this quarterback, because he put the organization ahead of this guy and ahead of the fact that he is the number one overall pick. There are 52 other guys inside that locker room. And if you continue to run out Bryce Young, who a blind man could see sucks, right? Like, just terrible at his job. You're letting down those other 52 guys, and eventually they're going to quit on you. And then they quit on you, then the organization quits on you, and that's when you lose your job. I think this is a move where coach never heard of him is like, look, man, I got these 52 other guys that are busting their ass every day, right? They're working their ass off to try to win football games, and we got a clear weakness. We got to move on from that. Not enough teams are willing to move on from bad decisions at quarterback. I applaud Carolina for this one. And if they fire their coach at the end of the season, then they should contract that franchise, because you've got to find some stability. And I think this guy's given you the opportunity to do that by giving Andy Dalton the start gives those guys the feel inside the locker room. They've got an opportunity to win. And it also puts you in position to draft another quarterback next year. Or maybe you stay with Andy Dalton. Who the hell knows how he's going to perform?
I mean, just, I can't believe he's still relevant in the NFL.
I haven't seen Andy Dalton play in I don't know how long, but I can tell you right now, the Carolina Panthers have a better chance to win than any time that Bryce Young steps on the field. That guy is one of the worst quarterbacks that I think I have ever seen in the history of the NFL. Now, it's 104 years old today. I don't date back that far, but just watching quarterback play over the year, this guy is terrible, man. He sucks.
You think there's any chance he's broken and doesn't suck? He's broken.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Okay, because
yeah,
I think there's a chance for some, you know, revival somewhere else maybe. I just can't.
Who's going to take a chance on that guy,
and,
though?
And this brings me to my next point. Should the Dolphins trade for Bryce Young?
No, they want to win now.
No, they're going to call Tom Brady, and if he ignores their phone call, they're going to call Joe Flacco.
Right,
why not?
I just think
Where is Flacco right now?
Probably taking the kids to school like he was last year.
With the Indianapolis Colts.
Colts, right? Oh, yeah, that's right. He's with the Colts, you know. So, but no, I would not. The Dolphins are in win now mode. Bryce Young doesn't give you a chance to win now.
That's fair.
Or tomorrow, or ever, right now. He needs to come work for Andy Reid for a while and try to get his confidence
back.
Yeah,
that's fair.
That draft class is what? Anthony Richardson, CJ Stroud, right. Will Levis, and Bryce Young. Those were the four big ones in that draft.
I don't
think I'm missing anybody else. There's probably some I'm not thinking of.
That was last year here, right?
That night, because that's the night Will Levis, his girlfriend at the time, got like an NIL deal from Burger King, and then she left him.
Yeah, right.
She definitely had it her way after that. So, you know, it is what it is. I feel bad for Bryce Young because he actually proved all the doubters right. And I hate seeing that story. Yeah. I love the other way, like the Piazza stories, like, below average power, not going to be a longtime player.
90th round pick.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know, Patrick Mahomes, the footwork, whatever. Bryce Young, he's too short. He'll never make it. He can't see over the line. Then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God.
That short thing may be right. Yeah. That short thing may be dead on. Like, he can't see over the offensive line. But again, like, he's just not good. Like, you watch him play, and you can see a decidedly bad quarterback. And so even with the money invested, you know, as much as everybody likes to bag on the owner of the Carolina Panthers, he was willing to go along with it as well. It's his cash, you know, that he has to eat. Whether or not he was the guy who drafted this guy one overall, he's still the owner of that franchise. And they allowed them to move on. And you have to move on. The quarterback position should be treated like every other position. If that was an offensive tackle or a linebacker that was picked one overall and they weren't doing their job, we'd be calling to get rid of him. But the quarterback always gets a little bit longer of a leash, sometimes much too long. Carolina, man, start setting a trend. If your quarterback isn't playing good, there's no reason to stick with that guy and have that case of FOMO. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy's bad. Like, he's really bad.
Speaking of bad, athletes who did something bad that you just, for some reason, never not give them a try. Who's an athlete? 913-586-7965 that you just seem to always keep giving second chances to. It'll make sense on the other side. 913-586-7965. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.